As I walked out of San Antonio's McNay Museum of Art this morning, after a wonderful interview with Linda Hardberger, I felt as though I were swimming upstream against an unstoppable current of children. They were there to tour the McNay's current exhibition of pieces from the Tobin Collection of Theater Arts. I had only moments earlier been speaking to Mrs. Hardberger, the first curator of the Tobin Collection, about the visionary Robert Tobin and his insistence that his vast collection of theater art, including priceless books and thousands of set and costume designs, be accessible to the public. He was also deeply committed to opening his collection to the children of San Antonio, believing this might light the fire of artistic appreciation in the lives of many. I was certainly seeing ample evidence of Tobin's vision in the faces of the many children, eyes opened wide to the many treasures displayed around them. Later in the afternoon, I spoke to David Amram, one of the most generous musical artists I have ever met. His enthusiasm, even if only over the telephone, is contagious. I wanted to ask David about his numerous collaborations with the New York theater producer, Joseph Papp. Through David's experiences in creating music for the theater, I hope to better understand Robert Tobin's enthusiasm for collecting theater artifacts. Mrs. Hardberger speaks first, as only a former librarian might, about the difficult challenge of making a priceless collection of books and art open to anyone who cared to examine it hands-on.
The other interesting thing is that he insisted, and of course for any curator or librarian is a nightmare, but he insisted on these being accessible to the public. Now we fudged it, and we told him that, you know, you kind of had to go around him a little bit. We told him that we didn't have insurance in case people fell off the ladders. So they were not allowed. They could certainly ask to see anything up there. And since my office was in this gallery, I was able to do that. And we gave them gloves and we did, you know, the whole thing. But he wanted all this open. And he'd prefer to have everything open. The downstairs, everything. But we couldn't really accommodate that. So we told them that we would do the best we could, but there were some rules that we had to follow.
It's about the gift of art, whether making a rare collection of theater artifacts available to the public, or, as David Amram tells us of producer Joseph Papp, it's bringing Shakespeare to life in Central Park for free.
And the plays were terrific, and the New York Times, Brooks Atkinson, gave him fantastic write-ups saying, here's a wonderful new thing in Central Park, free Shakespeare. And that's when Joseph Papp told me something that I never forgot, which was that when he was a little boy growing up in Brooklyn, in his family, the three languages that were spoken were Polish, Yiddish, and a little bit of English. And when he was in public school, he was in the library and he saw this book by someone named Shakespeare, and he sort of had seen, I think, one of those little statues they have of Shakespeare's hand, you know, that used to have in the public schools, and he kind of liked that way it looked. So he picked up the Shakespeare and started reading it, and he said it really changed his life, and he just began to read all of these things of Shakespeare, and he said that's what made him realize he could go beyond the block that he lived in Brooklyn, go beyond speaking Polish and Yiddish and a little English and learn to speak a lot of English and go out into the world at large. And then when he became successful as an actor and what was then called the floor manager for CBS television, he had a dream that everybody else, from people who didn't speak English and who didn't have hardly any money to live on, up to the most affluent person, all could share in the beauty of seeing and hearing Shakespeare for free. And of course, that was probably the craziest idea of all time. And he never lost sight of that. Years later, when he became incredibly successful as a producer of Chorus Line and these gigantic hit plays on Broadway, he took all that money and he put it back in the Shakespeare Festival himself rather than say, well, now I've done my pro bono work. Now it's time to join the full greed ahead club. He took all that money and put it back in the thing that he actually believed in. So he was one of the few people I've ever met who actually walked the walk that they talked. He was a wonderful, hardworking, dynamic, committed person.
Linda Hardberger worked side by side with Robert Tobin in developing programs for kids and lectures for the adults, all intended to deepen appreciation for the performing arts.
One of the things that we did with kids, for example, was that we talked about Halloween and why people get dressed up in funny costumes and opening up the idea of going to the theater. And he was, as I am, a huge believer in real theater, not movies, but live theater. And that was beginning to happen in San Antonio more and more. And we wanted them to understand that there was, as there is anywhere, different ways of communicating, and that you can communicate through theater, you can communicate through music, you can communicate through reading. But this was just another adjunct to what you do, what you learn in school. And there was an amazing number of people who, once they'd come here or gone to Incarnate Word or whatever, they suddenly realized, or they'd come to a lecture here, wow, that's really what I'd like to do. And it was we've had several people, I've been told, who came to the lectures and decided that that's what they wanted to do. And that's a special thing, to be able to spark some interest or enthusiasm at an early age that people, so many kids flounder and don't have any idea what they want to do.
Beginning on Friday evening, April 3rd, KPAC will present a five-part series in celebration of the Tobin Collection of Theater Arts. Guest commentators will include Linda Hardberger, Jody Blake, current curator of the Tobin Collection, David Amram, choreographer Ben Stevenson, and conductor Carl St. Clair. They will lend their varied perspectives to a broad view of the value of the Tobin Collection and why we should embrace this San Antonio treasure. And of course, there will be music. Each artifact from the Tobin Collection will suggest music, ranging from dance music of the 18th century to the colorful modernism of Stravinsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Liadov, to music from American musical theater. Please join us every Friday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Tobin Collection of Theater Arts, A Musical Vision, on KPAC San Antonio and KTXI Ingram.